Today's daf is Ksuvus Daf Tzadi Gimel. We are holding out the Mishnah and Daf Tzadi Gimel Amar Aleph. What the Mishnah is going to discuss is if a man dies and has three wives that each have a ksuba with different amounts of money in the ksuba. One wife he owes 100, the other he owes 200, the other he owes 300, and there's not enough money in his estate to cover all 600 zuz that he owes. So how do we divide up what he actually does have in the estate amongst the three women? And the Gemara is going to have two explanations of the division of the money that's described in the Mishnah, because whatever you would think would be the right thing, the right way to divide up the money, it's not what the Mishnah says. And the Gemara is going to be bothered by that and is going to give two explanations of why it is that the Mishnah has such unusual numbers, unusual ways to divide up the money. So that's pretty much Amar Aleph. And Beis Gemara is going to talk about if two guys chip in uneven amounts of money in order to buy a shor, and the shor is used for plowing, so we're going to have a shita that, everyone's going to seem to agree that they split the profits evenly if the shor is used for plowing, but if they decide to shecht the shor and use the meat, that's going to be machlokas, whether they divide that evenly or whether they divide it based on how much each one chipped in for the purchase of the shor. One guy chipped in a lot more money than the other fellow did. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Beis is going to talk about a man who had four wives and they're each collecting their ksuba. Who gets paid first and who has to swear to who, assuming that it wasn't all at the same time, that the shibudim were not all chal simultaneously. So let's begin with the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Mishayinus, it's a little bit of an easier daf today than recently, although anything would be a little bit easier than recently. So says the Mishnah, Mishayinus, Shalosh Nashim V'meis. If a guy was married to three women and he died, Ksubasa Shalzum Mana, the ksuba of one of the women was worth a mana, Vishalzum Asayim, the ksuba of another of the wives is worth 200, Vishalzu Shalosh Meos, and ksuba of a third wife was worth 300. Ve'in Sham Elamana, but the problem is the estate only has 100 zuz. Halacha is Cholkin b'shaveh. They divide that 100 zuz totally equally, which makes sense because each of them are entitled to the full 100 zuz, so they have a full shibud on that 100 zuz. No one has a greater shibud on the 100 zuz than the other party, so they divide it equally. Now Rashi points out over here, v'shlasha nechtemu b'yom echad. They have to say that all three had their ksubas signed on one day. The ibit chosa yomi hakod Demis Bishtar, Kodemis Begivui. Because if they were signed on three different days, whoever has the earlier shtar should be able to collect first. So if the woman that had a ksuba of mana had an earlier ksuba, her ksuba should get paid first and she should get the entire mana and let the other women wait till more nechasim come in or figure it out or whatever, but they're not going to get part of that mana. It has to be that they're all nechtam biyom echad. Now it's interesting that he has that lashon that they're all nechtam biyom echad. The Hafla asks that, wait a second, do you really need a chasimas ksuba to create a shibud? Ksuba is a tanai beisdin. It's mitakanas chacham, even if a person doesn't write a ksuba, he still has to pay a ksuba. Ksuba, we had the Mishnah Daf Nun Aleph, lo kasuv la ksuba, besul gov masayim al mana mana. That it's a tanai beisdin that even if a guy doesn't write a ksuba, the besul is entitled to 200, and al mana is entitled to 100. So even if they didn't sign bazeh achar zeh, but they just got married, one right after the other, still shouldn't we have the shibud of whoever got married first precede the shibud of whoever came later? So let's say they signed the ksubas, but it's irrelevant when they signed that they all signed biyom echad. They couldn't have gotten married biyom echad. Why couldn't they have gotten married biyom echad? Because the Gemara might cut and daf chesed and beis ain ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, and that's why we're not allowed to marry on Moed. You're not allowed to get married on Yantav and Chol Moed, because we're not allowed to mix two different simchas. So it stands to reason, says the Afla, that you're also not allowed to be ma'ariv two simchas of getting married with two different women. So it has to be that they didn't get married on the same day. So if they didn't get married on the same day, someone's shibud came first. And that shibud that comes first should collect all the ksubas. And when do you ever have a case, like our Mishnah has, where they're all going to divide it evenly because they all have the same, their shibud began on the same day. So the Afla says what you have to say is that even though in a chinami, the chiyuv ksuba was all chal at different times, but the shibud nechasim depends on the actual writing and the signing of the ksuba. So it could be that the chiyuv of paying mana masayim is at the time of marriage, but a shibud on the nechasim, to actually have a lien on the property, that only comes when you sign the ksuba. So that's why Rashi is careful to say, now it doesn't matter when they got married, that what matters is that nechtemu biyamecha, that it was all signed on one day. Now the Rambam in the 10th parak of Hilchas Ishus writes that a person is allowed to get married to two wives on the same day, which would make the whole kasha of the afla go away. I mean, if you hold that it's not a violation of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, I mean, where you'd have to say, according to the Rambam, Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha is when it's two distinct kinds of Simcha. But if it's one kind of Simcha, then you're allowed to be Ma'ariv Simcha B'Simcha. It's like it would enhance, each one enhances each other instead of trying to nullify each other. When you Ma'ariv Simcha B'Simcha, we assume that one diminishes the other. But maybe if it's two of the same kind, it's like when we say by min b'mino, the min b'mino is in a battle, because you have a little bit of chicken soup falls into more chicken soup, it only enhances it. It doesn't, they don't work against each other. So you have two different, the same two simchas of the same kind, maybe they only enhance each other. They don't compete with each other. The Afla writes, where does the Rambam get it from that you're allowed to marry multiple women on the same day? It must be he gets it from our Mishnah, that our Mishnah says that the shibud of all three women begins at the same time, and he must have not held that the shibud depends on the ksivas haksuba, but the shibud really depends on actually getting married. Although the Makna points out, it's not such a raya from our Mishnah, because it could be that our Mishnah is talking about where he didn't do the right thing. You're not supposed to be married simcha b'simcha and marry three women on the same day, but maybe our Mishnah is just talking about b'chiyah gavna, that he did, that he happened to have married three women on the same day. That's also a possibility. Okay, so right there in the Mishnah. So the first case is pretty straightforward. It was only a mana. Everyone's owed at least a mana, so they divided evenly. Hayusha Masayim, what if there was 200 zuz in the estate? So now you have one woman is only owed a mana. One woman is owed 200, one woman is owed 300. What do you do with Masayim? So the Mishnah says, Shalmana Natalas Chamishim, the one that's owed 100 takes 50. Shal Masayim v'shal Shalosh Meos, Shlosha Shlosha Shal Zahav. And the ones that are owed 200 and 300 each get 75. So the Gemara is going to have to explain why that's equitable, why that makes sense. Meaning, if you're going to say that the shibud of the one who has a mana is only on the first 100, and the shibud of the Masayim and the Shalosh Meos are on the full amount, so then we should say that they should divide the first 100 evenly. Each one gets 33 and a third, and then the second mana should be divided between woman 2 and woman 3. So each of them should get 83 and a third, whereas the first woman will be left with 33 and a third. But where do we get 50 and 75 and 75 from? Why would that be the fair way to divide the estate? So we're going to get to that in the Gemara. Hayusham Shalosh Meos, and if there was 300 in the estate, Shalmana Notelis Chamishim, the one who's entitled to a mana still gets 50, Vishal Masayim Mana, the one who's entitled to 200 gets 100 zuz, Vishal Shalosh Meos Shisha Shal Zav, and the one that's entitled to 300 gets 150. So as it turns out, according to this line in the Mishnah, if the payouts are 50, 100, and 150, so it turns out that they're each getting in line with based on the percentage of what their ksuba was, meaning the 100 has a ksuba that's worth half of what the 200 is worth and one third of what the 300 is worth. So she's actually getting paid half of what the 200 is getting paid and half of what the 300 is getting paid. But that doesn't seem to be the way the Mishnah is setting up the division of the estate, because then when they had 100, they should have done the same thing. They should have had the one who gets a ksuba of 100 should have gotten half of what the woman who got 200 and the third of what the woman who got 300. But that's not what we said. We said they divided 33 and a third. Everyone gets equally over there. So this also requires clarification. Why would it be that it's 50, 100, and 150? It makes sense on its own, but it certainly doesn't make sense in the context of the Mishnah, where we see that the setup of how to divide it is does not work just based on the percentage of the total estate that each one is entitled to. Pischu osiru kachin cholkin. And the same is true if three people invest in something together. So they put their money together to buy something to sell. They invest in some business. They also divide based on these types of divisions that we've just described in the Mishnah. What type of division? We're all confused right now. So the Gemara is going to explain. Says the Gemara, Shalmana notelis chamishim. Why is it in the second case where there was 200 zuz in the estate that the woman who's owed 100 gets 50? Meaning, if the way we're going to view this is that she has a shibud only on the first $100 of the estate, and she has no shibud on the next $100 of the estate, so then she should have gotten 33 1/3, because the first $100 of the estate, they all have a shibud on, so they should divide that evenly. And then the second $100 of the estate, only woman two and woman three should divide up between themselves. So the first woman should be left with only 33 1/3. Why does she get 50? So Amar Shmuel, the first explanation, the Gemara is going to have two explanations of the Mishnah. Amar Shmuel, the first explanation of our Mishnah is, because seves balas masayim, le balas mana, dinu dvarim ein liyimach b'mana. And we're making a major ukimta in the Mishnah. That the Mishnah, even though it never really spelled this out, it never really said this, but we're assuming that the case is, the one who's owed 200 says to the one who's owed 100, I'm not going to bother you about anything in the first 100 zuz. I'm going to leave you alone to collect whatever you want in the first 100 zuz, which leaves only two women collecting from the first 100 zuz, the balas mana and the balas shalosh meos. So they divide evenly the first 100 zuz, and that's why the balas mana ends up with 100. Wait a second, but then how much should the balas shalosh meos and the balas masayim end up with? No, when we go to the second 100 zuz, so they should divide that evenly. The balas masayim and the balas shalosh meos, so they should each get an additional 50, which should leave the balas shalosh meos with 100 and the balas masayim with only 50. But that's not what we said happens. We said each one gets 75. Ihachi ema seifa. When it goes on to say vayter in the Mishnah, shal masayim shal shalosh meos shalosh shalosh shal zahav, that the one who's owed 200 and the one that's owed 300 each gets 75. Why can't the balas shalosh meos say to the balas masayim, sorry, you begged out of the first 100 zuz, so we have no issue with the first 100 zuz. I got 50, the balas mana got 50. Now when it comes to the second 100 zuz, we should split that evenly, and therefore the balas shalosh meos should end up with 100 and the balas masayim should end up with 50. Why is it split 75-75? Answers the Gemara, Mishum da Amra la, Midin udvarim hu desliki nafshai. I never gave up my rights to the money of the first 100 zuz. I just said I wasn't going to get involved with the first woman, so I wasn't going to have a battle in court with her or ask anything from her in terms of the first 100 zuz. But I'm still entitled to whatever I am entitled in the first 100 zuz. So the first woman got to have 50 because I wasn't going to bother her, so she got to split the 50-50 with you. But with you, I still want to split. I do want to split the first 100 zuz with my entitlement to the first 100 zuz with you, and therefore, whatever was left of that first 100 zuz, we should split evenly. So I get 25, you get 25. Again, the first woman got 50 because the first woman only divided the first 100 zuz with the balas shalosh meos. So the first woman got 50 and the balas shalosh meos got 50. But then the balas shnei meos comes and says, you shouldn't get 50 in the first 100. That 50 that's left over in the first 100, we should split evenly. So they split that evenly and they each get 25. And then the second 100, they also split evenly and each get 50, and that's why they each end up with 75. So that's how it ends up that they divided this way. Now the Ritva raises the question. He says, wait a second, it's one thing for the balas shnei meos to be a nice person and tell the balas mana, you know what, I'm not going to bother you, you could take my portion of the mana. She wants to give away her portion, gesunte, let her give away her portion, or she wants to. But how can she say something to the balas mana that's going to cost the balas shalosh meos? I mean, if you think about it, the balas shalosh meos was entitled to 33 1/3 from the first 100. 100. The first 100 is supposed to be divided evenly between three of them. So the Baal HaSholosh Meilos should have gotten 33 and a third from the first 100. Now, because the Baal HaMasayim said to the Baal HaMana, I'm not going to bother you about the first 100. The Baal HaMana gets 50, and the remaining 50 has to get divided between the Baal HaMasayim and the Baal HaSholosh Meilos. But then the Baal HaSholosh Meilos is only getting 25 out of the first 100, not 33 and a third out of the first 100. How can her statement of woman number two to woman number one cost woman number three? How is she allowed to do that? How can she get away with something like that? Pnei Yeshua says that's probably what's bothering Tosos. If you look at Tosos, Damrla Dinu Dvarim Hudasliki, Tosos writes Lo Esparah Shapir Time Adah Milsa. He says, I don't get what's going on over here. It doesn't sit well with me. What doesn't sit well? Tosos doesn't explain at all. What bothers him? This must be what bothers him. That how can the Balas Masayim make a deal with the Balas Mana that's going to cost money to the Baal HaSholosh Meilos? That must be what's bothering the Tosfos. So the Ritva deals with this question explicitly. He spells out the question, and the Ritva says that it must be another Rukimta. We're making major Rukimtas in the Mishnah. He says it must be that the Baal HaSholosh Meilos was maskim to the Mechila of the Baal HaMasayim to the Baal HaMana. Now when the Baal HaMasayim said to the Baal HaMana, Dinu Dvarim, I'm not going to bother you, the Baal HaSholosh Meilos said, that's a good idea, that's very nice of you, you shouldn't do that, and you should take a bother her, and she must have been okay with it. And by being maskim to the Baal HaMasayim's statement toward the Baal HaMana, the Baal HaSholosh Meilos is foregoing her right to the 33 and a third. So she's going to divide in that first mana after the first woman takes 50 and there's 50 left, they're going to divide it evenly between the two of them. And then just continuing to be Mamshech HaKav Hala, to continue this line of reasoning within the Mishnah, again we're assuming in the Mishnah that the Balas Mana has a Shibud only on the first 100 Zuz. The Balas Masayim has a Shibud only on the first 200 Zuz, and the Balas Shalosh Meilos would have a Shibud on all 300 zuz, if there is 300 zuz. So going on in the Mishnah spoke about Hayusham Shalosh Meos, that what happens if there's 300 zuz. And what did the Mishnah say? That the Balas Mana gets 50, the Balas Masayim gets 100, and the Balas Shalosh Meos gets 150. So says Gemara, wait a second, Shal Masayim Mana? The one who's owed 200 zuz gets 100 zuz when there's a total of 300 in the estate? That shouldn't be. Shivim v'chamishu de isla. She should get 75. Why should she get 75? Because again, going with what we were assuming before, she already told the Balas Mana that I'm not going to bother you in the first 100. So the first 100, the Balas Mana gets 50, the Balas Masayim gets 25, the Balas Sholosh Meilos gets 25. The second 100, the Balas Masayim gets 50, and the Balas Sholosh Meilos gets 50. So now each of them have 75. The third 100, only the Baal HaSholosh Meilos has a Shibud on. The Baal HaMasayim has no Shibud on the third 100. So the Baal HaMasayim should get 0 from the third 100, and the Baal HaSholosh Meilos should get all of the third 100. So it should be that it's 50, 75, and 175 is the way it should work out amongst to divide the 300 zuz. So answers the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, you have to make another ukimta in the Mishnah, because seves balas sholosh meos the balas masayim ula balas mana dinu dvar mainly imachim b'mana. It must be that the balas sholosh meos wrote to the balas masayim and the balas mana, I'm not going to bother you at all about that first 100 zuz. So how does it turn out that first 100 zuz is going to be divided evenly between the Balas Mana and the Balas Masayim, and then the second 100 zuz is going to be divided evenly between the Balas Masayim and the Balas Shalosh Meos. So it'll turn out that the Balas Mana gets 50, half of the first 100 zuz. The Balas Masayim is going to get 100, half of the first 100 and half of the second 100 zuz. And the Balas Shalosh Meilos is going to get 150, half of the second 100 zuz, and the full amount of the 300 zuz. I don't know why the Mishnah would have done this. Meaning, what the Mishnah is really, according to this approach in the Mishnah, what the Mishnah is really saying is that the halacha should be, if no one makes any side deals or any special arrangements, the halacha should be that the first 100 zuz is divided evenly between the three of them, the second 100 zuz is divided evenly between the Balas Masayim Hashem Baal HaShalosh Me'ezuz, and the third 100 Zuz goes entirely to the Baal HaShalosh Me'ezuz. And because each one only has a Shibur up until the amount of their Ksuba. So why would the Mishnah have written in such a way where there are all these Ukimtas, where this deal is going on and that deal is going on? Why not just tell us what the Halach is? I don't know why the Mishnah would have written it in such a way that you have to know all of these Ukimtas. But that is the Shita of Shmuel in terms of how to understand our Mishnah. The second approach to our Mishnah is the Shita of Rabbi Yaakov Min Arpa Kod. Rabbi Yaakov Min Arpa Kod, Mishmei de Ravina Amar, Reisha B'Shtei Tfisos, V'Seifa B'Shtei Tfisos. That we're not talking about where all 300 Zuz, or all 100 Zuz, or all 200 Zuz, however much was in the estate, all came at one time. It all happened B'Shtei Tfisos. There were two different times where the money had to be divided. So the first division was done first, and then they had a second division. How did it work out? Reisha B'Shtei Tfisos, Tzinaflu Shivin V'Chamisha B'Chad Zimna, When we say ratio, we mean when the 200 Zuz, when there was 200 Zuz. When there was 100 Zuz, we had no issue with that. We understood very clearly. When there was 100 Zuz, they divided it evenly. That's simple. All three women divided it evenly. Everyone got 33 and a third. When there was 200 Zuz, where it started to get confusing. So that's what we're saying. What happened was, it wasn't the 200 Zuz all came at one time. No, first what happened was that they got 75 Zuz. So what do they do when they get 75 Zuz? Divided evenly, because they each have an equal shibud in anything up to the first 100. So the 75 zuz, they divide evenly, each one gets 25. And then, the next time they got money, 125, it was 125 zuz that came in. So when it comes to the 125, so that's why we said that when you have Masayim, the one who had mana gets 50, the one who has Masayim and Shalosh Meos each get 75, because it's the remaining 125 that they then split in a way where how does it work? Where each of them originally got 25 from the first one, and then from the second 100 Zuz, they're going to get 50. The Balas Masayim and Balas Shalosh Meos are going to get 50 each. So Seifa B'Shtei Tfisos, and the Seifa also some B'Shtei Tfisos, when it's 300 Zuz, Tenaflu Shivim V'Chamisha B'Chad Zimna, first they got 75, and then Masayim V'Esher V'Chamisha B'Chad Zimna, and then they got 225 to divide up, and that's how it works out, that each one gets 50, 100, and 150 respectively. Tanya, the Braisa just adds, Zu Mishnas Rabbi Nassan. This entire idea of dividing in this way is all Rabbi Nassan's opinion. Our whole Mishnah, where we say that there's a Shibud on the first 100 for all of them, but on the second 100, the first woman has no Shibud on the second 100 at all, because her Ksuba is only worth 100, that's all Rabbi Nassan's approach. But Rabbi Omer, I don't think Rabbi Nassan is correct. Rather, I think they should be chalik b'shava. They should divide everything evenly. Meaning, the way it would turn out, according to the simple reading at least, the way Rabbi would understand is even when there's 300 zuz in the estate, they should divide it evenly. Everyone should get 100. Because the way Shibud works is not that if woman number one has a ksuba of 100, that her Shibud nechasim is only on the first 100 of the estate. No, she has a Shibud nechasim afilu miglima dal kasbai. The guy's got to pay from anything. From his entire estate is meshubah to the ksuba. It's just that she can't collect more than 100 at the end of the day. But the whole estate is meshubah toward paying that ksuba. So if there's 300 zuz in the estate, all of it is meshubah to the ksuba, and therefore she is entitled to divide that the full 300 evenly with the other parties up until she gets her 100 zuz. Once she gets her 100 zuz, so she can't get any more because her shibud has been paid off, so there's no longer a shibud. But her shibud is on the entire estate all at once. That's the simplest reading of our Gemara. That's how Rashi understands it. That's how the Rif understands it. That's how the Rambam understands it. That's how the Rush understands it. Why am I mentioning that if that's how all the Rishonim understand? Because it's not all the Rishonim. There is the Shita of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says that it can't be that they divide it evenly, because he says if that were the case, laksa midas hadin, that it's not fair. That's not how one woman has a ksuba, it's worth three times the other woman, and she's going to get the same exact payment. It doesn't make sense. Rabbeinu Chananel says that can't be what Rebbe means to say over here. He says no, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, the way the chalukah that Rebbe is describing works is that if you are sarif the chov of all the women together, like in our Mishnah, where you have the 100, the 200, and 300, it means that there's a total chov of 600. So if there's a total chov of 600, what we do is we take the estate, we divide it into six parts. The woman who's entitled to 100 gets 1/6, the woman who's entitled to 200 gets 2/6, and the woman who's entitled to 300 gets 3/6. And that's how we divide the estate up. So if it's 300 zuz, you divide the estate into six parts of 50. The woman who's entitled to 100 gets 50. The woman who's entitled to 200 gets 100. And the woman that's entitled to 300 gets 150. Which, by the way, is exactly the numbers the Mishnah said when it's 300. And Rabbi's supposed to be arguing on the Mishnah. But he is arguing on the Mishnah, because the only way Rabbi Nassan arrived at that conclusion in our Mishnah was with a whole bunch of side deals going on. And that's the only way that, because Rabbi Nassan really would have said, if he had 300 zuz, what he really would have held in the Mishnah is that the woman that's owed 100 zuz gets 33 and a third, and the woman that's owed 200 zuz gets 83 and a third, and the woman gets that gets 300 zuz gets 183 and a third. So to have the 50, 100, 150, that's Rebbe's contribution. That's how Rabbeinu Hananel understands it. So it's a machlokas between the Rov Rishonim versus Rabbeinu Hananel. Now, Rabbeinu Hananel has several rayas that this should be the case, that it should be divided based on their stake in terms of the percentage of the ratio of their ksuba to the other, of each woman's ksuba to the other woman's ksuba. His rayas from a Gemara in Baba Kama Daflam and Vav. If you have a shar shava masayim, a shar that's worth 200 zuz, that gore is a shar shava masayim, and the nevel is worth nothing. So zeno talmana v'zeno talmana. Each one takes 100 zuz of the surviving shar of the mazik. If it then goes and gores another shar shava masayim, ha'achro natalmana v'shalafanav notal chamishim zeno tal chamishim. The last nizik gets 100 zuz, half of the value of the mazik, and the other two each get 50. Chazar v'nagach shor acher shavim asayim. It then goes and gores a third shor worth 200 zuz. Ha'achron notalmana. Again, the last guy gets half. V'shalafanav notal chamishim, and the other one who before him gets 50, which is half of what's left. V'shalafneifanav kalecha notal esrim chamisha, and the one before that, each one would get 25, half of what's left of that. So the Gemara says that that's going like Rabbi Akiva holds, that the baal hashar that's nogeach and the nigach become shutfim in the shar, and we pass like Rabbi Akiva. So just like over there, we say the chaluka of kalecha is kefi chelek hamos that he has in the shahr. So who had it over here? All the women should get kafi chelek hamaos based on what their ownership is. Meaning their ownership is in the case of the shahr, the ownership of each of them is 50% of whatever's left after the last guy gets paid. So that's why they're getting the exact money that corresponds to their ownership. Rabbi Chanan says he sees no reason why it would be any different over here. So that is the shita of Rabbi Chanan, different than the shita of Rashi and the Rambam and the Rif and the Rush and everybody else. The other issue over here is with Rabbi Yaakov Min Arpa Kod, is that Rabbi Yaakov Min Arpa Kod said that the ratio was talking about where there were two tfisos, and the Seif was talking about where there were two tfisos. So going back to that, Rashi explained that what does it mean tfisa? There were two tfisos. Rashi explained there were tofes metaltlin for the ksuba, and it didn't have 200 zuz all at one time. They originally were tofes, and they counted up what they were tofes, and they counted up that it was only 75, and then the next time they were tofes, they counted up and it was 125. The Ritva just has trouble with that, because what are they being tofes metaltlin for? Metaltlin are not meshubah to uksuba. Only karka is meshubah to uksuba. So why are they being tofes anything? So the Ritva says that over here we must be that we're talking about karka. What's the lashon of tfisa? Tfisa is not shaykh by karka. Karka doesn't go anywhere. It is where it is. So it's not shaykh to use the word tfisa. What it means is shtei guvainos. Shtei tfisos means two collections. That first they collected karka worth 75, then they collected karka worth 125. But obviously it wasn't a tfisa, because you can't be tofes metaltlin for ksuba, and it's not shaykh tfisa on karka. What about Rashi? Why does Rashi think that it's a tfisa of metaltlin? What happened to the fact that metaltlin not meshuba to the ksuba? Ketubah. So the Ritva writes that you have to say that we're talking B'chi Agavna, that the husband was explicitly Meshabed his Metaltalin in the Ketubah. So if he explicitly was Meshabed his Metaltalin, then you could have Tfisos by Metaltalin as well. The Ran quotes the Ritva Shita that we're talking about there, and the Ran says that it must be over here we're talking about they were Tofes Mechayim, that they were Tofes Metaltalin, but they were Tofes when the husband was still alive. So then you could have Tfisa of the Metaltalin. The problem with that is, the Ran points out, is that then it wouldn't be called Shtei Tfisos, because even if they took 75 when he was alive and then another 125 when he was still alive, so their ksubas aren't payable till he's dead. So that's considered tfisa achas, because it only becomes payable once he actually dies. That's like they got all 200 at one time. So it's hard to say it like that. So the two basic approaches that seem to work are the approach of Rashi, that itaka is metaltalin, that they're being tofes, and you have to say that he was meshabi the metaltalin specifically for the ksuba, or like the ritva, it's labdavka tfisa, it means guvainos, they guvainos, that there are two periods of collection. Okay, two dots at the bottom now. Amar Shmuel. So the Mishnah said that the same is not just true by Iksuba, but by any investment that people make together, that the division would be along the lines of what we said. So Amar Shmuel, Shnayim Shitilu Lekis, Zemanav Zemasayim. Two people chip in together to buy, let's say, an ox. One of them chips in 100, the other one chips in 200, and they buy 300 zuz ox. Haschar le'emtza, whatever benefit they get, they divide evenly. Even though one of them chipped in twice as much money as the other one, they divide everything completely evenly, which is obviously quite a chiddush. Amar Rabba, Mistavra Milse de Shmuel, Bishar le Charisha v'Omer le Charisha. He says, Shmuel makes sense if the Shar was Omer the Charisha and they bought it and they plan on using it for Charisha, and that's what they taka use it for, and that's all the benefit they get from the Shar is for plowing, because no part of the Shar would plow without the other part of the Shar, meaning you need the entire Shar. So granted, one of them only owns one third of the Shar and the other one owns two thirds, but good luck getting two thirds of a Shar to plow. Two thirds of a shark can't do anything, has absolutely no value. So that's why they divide it evenly. But if it was originally a shor l'charisha, but now it's omei l'tvicha, they go and they shecht it and they divide up the meat, well then one guy owns two thirds of the meat and the other one owns one third of the meat. So that they divide based on the amount that they each contributed to the pot, to buying the shor. So that's the understanding of Rabba in Shmuel. Rav Hamnuna, Amar Rav Hamnuna says even a greater chiddush. Afilu shor l'charisha v'omei l'tvicha haschar le'emtza. Even it's a shor l'charisha and it's omei l'tvicha, still they're going to divide it all evenly, which again is a very great chiddush. Now the Rush writes that when we say haschar le'emtza, it's because they should have made a tanai in the first place, meaning the whole thing seems unreasonable. One guy's chipping in twice as much money as the other guy. Why should, even if it's all the charisha, why isn't it they get that they split it evenly? So yeah, you can't get two thirds of an ox to plow, but come on, he invested twice the amount of money as the other person. Shouldn't his yields be twice the amount as the other person as well? So the Rush says it's all an umdana, it's an umdana that we're making. It's an omei das that we're making, that we assume that if he really wanted to get twice as much of the profits as the other party, he should have made an explicit tanai in that regard. So and we assume if he didn't make that deal, then then the assumption is that he's perfectly happy dividing everything evenly, which is quite an assumption to make. But the whole thing is working based on num din das. And if somehow we could be omi daito that his initial das was that he should get whatever he invested, whatever percentage of the shor that he invested, so then that would be what he's actually entitled to. You have to say something like that, because otherwise the whole thing is so difficult to understand. There's also Machloshidim Gvetzes over here points out that, how do we understand, how many opinions are there over here? Shmuel said everyone gets a schar la'emtza. Then you have Rabba says Shmuel makes sense if they're using it for Harisha, and Rav Hamnuna says Shmuel even makes sense if they're using it l'tvicha. So the Shidim Gvetzes points out that it's Machlokas, how to understand this Gemara. Some say that Rabba and Rav Hamnuna are both arguing on Shmuel, and that there are in fact three opinions. Shmuel holds you're always going to divide the schar 100% evenly. Rabbah holds only when it's shor l'charisha, you divide it evenly, but if it's omid l'tzvicha, it's l'fi ha-ma'os. And Rav Amnuna holds, even a shor l'charisha, va'omid l'tzvicha, if it was a shor that was originally l'charisha, and now is omid l'tzvicha, you divide it evenly, but if it's omid l'chadchila l'tzvicha, haschal l'fi ha-ma'os, meaning still not like Shmuel. Even Rav Amnuna would say that if it's originally omid l'tzvicha, you divide it l'fi ha-ma'os. Shmuel holds, even if it's originally omid l'tzvicha, it would be haschal l'emsa. But so that's how some understand. The simple reading, I thought, is the other opinion Shitim Gatz's quotes, which is that Rabba and Rav Amnuna are arguing within Shitas Shmuel. What does Shmuel really hold over here? Does Shmuel hold only when it's shor l'charisha va'omid l'charisha that you divide it evenly, or does Shmuel even hold when it's shor l'charisha va'omid l'tvicha you divide it evenly? There's also machlokas rishonim that the Gemara never addresses. What if it was originally omid l'tvicha? It only discusses omid l'charisha and then you decide to do tvicha. What if it was originally omid l'tvicha? So Tosos writes over here in Dibra Maskal Mai, Tosos writes that if it's l'tvicha v'omid l'tvicha, it would be the halacha would be that everyone would agree haschar l'fi ha-ma'os, that it gets divided l'fi ha-ma'os, and the Rosh and the Rambam hold that even if it's shor that they bought originally l'tvicha and some of the tvicha, it would still be haschar l'emsa, they would still divide it evenly. Says Gemara Vayter. Now Meisvei asks Gemara a question. Shnayim, we have a brisa. Shnayim sheitilu l'kis. Two people chip in money together. Zem mana v'zem asayim. One guy chips in 100, the other one 200. Haschal le'emtsa. They divide whatever profits they get. My love b'shor l'charisha v'omli l'tvicha v'tiyufta d'rabba. Isn't this talking about a case where they initially bought a shor l'charisha, but now it's only l'tvicha, and you see they're dividing it evenly, they're not dividing it l'fi ha-ma'os, and that's therefore tiyufta on Rabba, because Rabba said that if in the end of the day they're going to shecht it, they should divide l'fi ha-ma'os? Says Marlo, who said that it's talking about a case where it's omid l'tvicha? Maybe the case where we're saying that they divide it evenly is where it's omid l'charisha, where they still use it only for charisha. Aval shol l'charisha v'omid l'tvicha mai. But what would the halacha taka be if they want to shecht it? Zenotel fimosef. Then they'll divide everything based on the amount of money that they put in. But if that's the case, adatani sefer, when the brisa wants to come up with a case where they divide it based on the money, so what does the brisa go on to say? It says as follows. If each one invests in his own oxen, and then so they buy separate animals. Each one invests in his own oxen. One of them bought shvacha oxen because he only had 100 to contribute, and the other one bought really strong oxen because he had 200 to contribute. And then they mix together and they go into a shutvus where they're going to share all their oxen. In that case, each one gets only what they put into it, what they put into the partnership, the percentage that they put in. But why do you have to come up with that case to say each one gets the percentage that they put in? You could keep the case the same where they all chip in for one ox and still come up with a way that they're each going to get based on what they put in. Why don't you just keep the b'didei? Why don't you keep the same case and say as follows? When do they divide it evenly? That's only if it's used purely for plowing. But if they use it for shakling, each one should get based on what they put in. That's what it should have said if it were true. And so Gemara Hachinami Kamar, that's what it is saying. It's saying, when do they divide it evenly? It's only when it's only used for plowing. When the shor ultimately is going to be shechted, we treat it as if each one bought their own shvarim separately, and then later they joined them all together in a partnership. Zenotel fimosav. In both of those cases, they're going to get based on what they put in, based on the amount of money that they put in. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, v'chein shlosha sheitil l'kis. Now, it's said in our Mishnah that the way to divide up an investment when three people invest in something together is the same way we divide up with the three women who have the ksuba, which means that the amounts are going to be different based on what each one put in, which is against Shmuel. My love, pichsu mamish, hosiru, hosiru mamish. Doesn't that mean it makes money, it loses money, and they divide the profit or the loss based on the amount of money that they put in, and this is is one giant tiyufta on Shmuel, meaning Shmuel's going like a braisa. Granted, Shmuel had a braisa, it went explicitly like him, that they divided evenly, but it's against our Mishnah. The Mishnah does not say they divided evenly. The Mishnah says that you divide it based on how much money they put in. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barav Huah, lo hosiru zuzi chadti pisku astira ditzunisa. That when we say pisku or hosiru, it doesn't mean that it made money or lost money. It means that the actual coins that they put in became more valuable or less valuable. So then, obviously, they're just going to take back the coins. When they divide it, they're going to take back the coins that they put in. So if they became more valuable, so obviously, if I put in more of those valuable coins, I'm going to get more when I take it out. If they became less valuable, let's say the government canceled the currency or something, so you'll get less of it when you take it out. But if it was that the coins weren't the same coins, they were actually invested, and in the investment either made money or lost money, then in a chinami, then we'd go like Shmuel and we'd say that that everything is split evenly, no matter how much money someone put in. So that's again another major rukimta to make in our Mishnah, to understand the Mishnah in that way. It's simply not it's clearly not the simplest reading of the Mishnah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.